Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 reads this way. It says, "Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you for, again, the privilege of gathering together in your house, and Lord, for the truth that you are in our midst. And so we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us, that we might hear from you, that you would be glorified. And again, Lord, that we would be strengthened in the faith that you've given to us, that we would be drawn closer to you, and that we would understand more about the salvation that you've given to us. Bless tonight, Lord, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "For All Things Are Yours." Isn't that good?
Amen.
Okay, let's go home. All things are yours. That's all you need to know, right? Oh, no, there's a little bit more to it than that. But all things are ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God wants us to understand an important truth tonight, and that is that there is a way to understand and to receive all the things that God has intended for every believer throughout all the ages, throughout all time, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's been that way. Again, our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I need to remind you about something. What church is the Lord talking to? Is it a faithful church? Well, it is to a degree. Let me just ask you this. Did they have problems? Amen. Amen. Okay, here's another question. You don't have to answer this one too loudly. Do we have problems? Yes, yes, yes. We have problems. Amen. But wait a minute. God is in the business of problem solving. Isn't that good? And the truth of the matter is that God has already solved those problems and wants to reveal them to us. Sometimes we get stuck in our problems simply because we don't come to the one with the answers to those problems. So notice what he says here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, "And I, brethren," so he's speaking to believers, right? And then I want to remind you that the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, remember where Paul said, "Oh, listen, if I could remove mountains, if I had the faith to remove mountains and I could do all these wonderful things, but I don't have love," how good was he? He said, "Boy, I tell you, I would just be a noisemaker. I would be a tinkling cymbal or sounding brass without love. I could have all these things, and if I don't have love," you know what Paul was saying in a nutshell? "I've missed it all. I've missed it all." So listen, some people might make fun about the love of God, but listen, how will the world know the witness of Christ in us without the love of God? The truth is, they won't. Listen, the world doesn't want to just hear the preaching of the Word of God. They want to see the effects of the Word of God. They don't want us just to tell them something to do. They want to see a life-transforming power present, not absent, but present in your life and mine. And so that is not ours to manufacture. That is God's to give to you and I. So he's reminding this wonderful church, because it is a wonderful church. It has its problems, but it is a church that would glorify the Lord, and they needed to be instructed just as you and I need the instruction of God's word as well. So verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal." In other words, you're looking to the natural realm. You're not looking to the spiritual realm. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible to love God and walk in the natural realm and miss the spiritual? Is it possible to be a saved child of God, know the Lord as my Savior, and not be influenced and guided and led by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. Is it possible? Listen, I want to remind you of David. He loved the Lord, and he veered away when he conspired to get Bathsheba and put her husband in a place where he knew he would be killed. And by the way, I want to remind you of this. Who was David known as? A man after Isn't that amazing? He was a man. And listen, by the grace of God, and he knew what he had coming. So the first message, when he got things right with the Lord, what did the prophet tell him? You're not going to die. Because he deserved to die. And so it was the mercy of God in David's life that really put him back into that position. Now, here's a mind boggler. Ready? If you and I were God, we'd be finished with David. That's it, David. You've crossed the line. There's no coming back. That's how we are. That's how we are in the natural realm. Listen, that's it. No more opportunities for you. Isn't that us in the flesh? Isn't that us, the natural realm? And what did God do? Listen. He made their son, Bathsheba, and David's son, Solomon. Wow. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means you ought to just live like the devil and nothing, it doesn't matter. God's going to bless you anyway. Not at all. It was David's repentance that said, I'm wrong. Thou art the man. Hit him like a ton of bricks. And he repented. And God said, I'll bring you back. That's the mercy of God. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants to bring us closer to himself. So he says, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He says, it shouldn't be that, but that's what where we're at. And I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there are among you, envying and strife and divisions, and ye are ye not carnal, he says, and walk as men. Isn't that interesting? Are ye not carnal? And listen to this, and walk as men. You know what he's talking about? The natural mankind. The way that the natural, listen to this thought. God does not want us to walk like the natural man does. Isn't that what he said, look, I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual. You're walking like everybody else does. So here's the question. Is God expecting us to walk differently than everybody else? So be careful. Listen, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that God wants us to. And so God wants us to be the light. You know what God wants us to understand? Listen, there are things in this world that are not sinful that we could participate in, but they take our heart away and they occupy our hearts and minds and take us away from the Lord. God does not want us preoccupied or worried about the very same things that the world is worried about. Now, it can happen. It can happen to us as saved children of God. I'm going to tell you, it is probably not the best thing to do to watch and listen to a lot of news today. Listen, years ago, they had, I would just say, maybe more credibility to what they were saying and less so today. But I will tell you this, what you're hearing on the news is not going to strengthen your faith. It would. Listen, I promise you this. Tell me if this is not true. You could not watch the news. You could skip watching the news for 1 month, watch it a month later, and hear the same garbage. Could you not? Could you not really? And it would benefit us more to spend more time seeking the Word of God and understanding that God has intended for you and I to not walk like the world walks and in fear and concerned and distraught at what's going on in the world. And there are things to be concerned about. But wait a minute. Has God not created all things for himself? Amen? Do you know that brings peace into our hearts and minds if we'll ask God to make that real? Now, here's the thing. Listen, in any area of our life that we are having trouble in, God is not wanting to make us stronger. No. God is wanting to bring us to the end of ourselves. Listen, when God was dealing with Peter, Peter was looking to himself and his strength with, I believe, the best of intentions, don't you? But God was not trying to make Peter stronger. He was trying to bring Peter to the end of himself that Christ might be God in his life. God is trying to bring us to the end of ourselves that we might see that our very best still, as a saved child of God, our best still are filthy rags. So it's God's righteousness and grace in my life that will make the difference. Do I have the ability to be kind when people are unkind to me? Now, I know you'd like to think your pastor has that ability. Let me be the first one to tell you, I do not, okay? I have the same nature that you do that says, what? So I need the grace of God to work through me that which I cannot do. And God says, I'll be glad to do it. Ready? Here's what it's like. You and I have been given an inheritance of property. And we have an obligation to this property now. We have been placed in a valley. And in this valley, all the nutrients come down to the middle so good things can grow. At the end of the year, we need to be able to show so many bushels of apples. I'm just picking the apples for fruit, okay? And so we can equate that to the fruit of the Spirit. We're supposed to have, because of our salvation, we have been planted in Christ, have we not? We have been given a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, God expects us to produce certain things. The problem is there are no apple trees on our property. But now since we're in the valley, the property on this side of us, right, they have apples and they fall off the trees and they roll onto our property. But the problem with those apples is they're rotten. Now, there's apples on this farm over here that's next to on the other side of us, and the apples are there, and they're wonderful, and they're ripe and ready, but they don't fall off the trees. We got to go pick them. But here's how it works. We have to go ask the farmer, the father, that we might have those fruits. And we have to ask God, listen, if we're not careful, what we're doing is we are trying to produce our own fruit or grow our own fruit. And God's saying, I've already provided all of that for you. The kindness, the gentleness, the meekness, the long-suffering, the patience, all that is of me. And we think we've got to try to produce it. It'll never work. Oh, granted, you might do it once in a while, but it's going to be such hard work, you're going to give up on it. You're going to say, forget it, I can't do it. Do you know people look at what God has called us to do as believers and they say, I can't do it. You ever heard somebody say that? Well, wait a minute. Have you ever thought that? I can't do it. Well, you're in good company. None of us can. But God wants to do it in and through us. So he's telling them, you don't understand. Listen, I'm wanting you to understand that I want to speak to you as spiritual, but you're walking with the wisdom and understanding and comprehension of everyday mankind. So watch this here. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? We're looking at the natural realm. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Listen, let that sink in just for a moment. Do you hear what Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit? All these ministers that you guys are bragging about, they are what they are because of the grace of God. Do you know that we are, we can be what God wants us to be by what? By the grace of God. So many times where we make the mistake is we try to be what God wants us to be in our own strength. And we can't do it. It won't happen. Do you know why? Because God says he won't share his glory with anybody, but he'll give it if we'll ask. And when God gives us that glory, that gives us an opportunity for worship when we see it in our life. So notice he says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? Notice what he says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God is the one. Is Paul saying, man, that Apollos, whew, can he preach? Oh, Peter, did you see the change that Peter made in his life? And Paul, what did he say? Oh, man, do you see how good I am? Is that what Paul said? Paul said, I am what I am, boy, by the sweat of my brow. I am what I am by all the hard effort and work that I put into this ministry. Or did he say, I am what I am by the grace of God? Isn't that true? We won't be any different either. So then, verse 7, neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So where is the focus at? Where is Paul trying to shift the focus? Not on man, on God. So watch this, ready? He says, verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together, all by ourselves, right? No, we are laborers how? With God. Yep. And he says, ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man, listen, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. What is he talking about there? What are we to take heed about? Are we building in the flesh? Or are we building in the spirit? How do we build in the spirit, right? Let me give you a complicated understanding. Simply this, ready? And it is complicated. It's really not. It really isn't. But it is complicated. How do we build on God's foundation? Ready? Ask God to do it. Ask God to do it. Stop trying to do it yourself and ask God to do it for you. And then when he builds it and you step back and look at it, you praise God. You praise the Lord and you say, only you, God, can do that. So notice here. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we believe that, and yet we try to lay another foundation based upon our works. And I believe it like this, out of a genuine heart love for the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Lord. We want to honor him. And so, Lord, we're going to give you our best. That's not what God is asking for. God is asking us to call upon him to do it for us. Because then when it's done, we praise and worship the Lord. So again, verse 12, he says, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So when the fire of God's done with it, all the things that are done in the spirit, they're going to remain. Now think about this, ready? Can we produce the fruit of the spirit in ourselves in our own strength? No. So all we need to do is call upon God to produce that fruit in us. When he produces that fruit, he says that glorifies him, that peace, the joy that he gives to us. The world sees that and they say, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but I see something I've not seen anywhere else. There's a lot of people that make a profession of Christianity, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that my goodness, the world looks at and says, man, whatever you have, I don't want it. They might say, is it contagious? Is there a vaccine for it? I don't think I want that. And what is it that God wants to give us, if not his spirit, and the peace that he brings? And you and I know whether we have that or not. The Word of God tells us that the evidence of that is what? A four-letter word. Starts with L, ends with E. If that's missing, so is God. So is God. You cannot preach the Word of God. You cannot share the gospel of Christ effectively with the absence of love. Because if there's no love, that means really there's no God there. And so listen, where shall that begin? Well, let's call upon the Lord every Sunday morning and make sure that when we come to the house of God, we've got the love of God, right? Well, that's good, but it shouldn't stop there. God does not want the scenario I pointed out before where, man, we're on a mad dash, right, to get to church on time, and we're rounding up the kids and all kinds of ruckus and stuff in the car carrying on, and we pull up into the driveway and walk through the door and we say, hello, brother and sister. Right? Meanwhile, our lives were just flipped upside down and we walk in like everything's put together.
That's
That's not what God wants to give us. Unfortunately, a lot of times that's what we're giving God. And God says, I'd like to give you something that's put together. Amen. Because it was put together in the love of my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, shed his blood to give us life. Didn't you remember? Life, more abundant life. Amen. And so God wants us to have that. So he says this in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. I don't want to show up like that, do you? Know ye not, verse 16, that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Remember what? All things are yours. If God has given to us his Son, will he not freely also give us all good things? Isn't that true? Do you know what? Listen, we hear those things sometimes, but I wonder if we believe it enough to say, God, do that in me. Lord, that I might walk in that truth. All things are mine. Listen, how do you ask God to give to work in you his will? Here's how you do it. Ready? You get up in the morning and you genuinely say, God, help me to believe your promise that you've given to me in your word. And now by faith, not how I feel, because we're not supposed to walk by feelings, not by what I hear on the news, not by what I hear on the radio, and not what some of my friends might be saying, but what I see in your word, help me to believe that, and now I'm going to get up this day and walk in that truth. Amen? And the Lord said, hey, listen, when you ask God, believe that he's going to give you what you're asking for, and walk in that. Don't be a double-minded individual. Believe that you receive what you've asked for. And by the way, if you're asking God for what's in his word, won't he give that? Isn't that his will? So that's the way he says it works. So he says, God dwells in you. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And so God says, this is a serious matter. Let no man deceive himself. Is it possible to be self-deceived? I think so, unfortunately, or God wouldn't have told us that. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. That's called humility. That's called, you know, remember what Paul said? I thought I was wise. Remember what Paul said? I took all my wisdom and everything I attained and threw it in the dung heap. And I said, God, I'm yours. Do with me as you will. That is called presenting yourself a living sacrifice in Romans chapter 12. You know that's all God's asking for? That we present ourselves and say, okay, Lord, today I'm yours. Do your will in me. Does God want to love the world through you? Wait. What's the first institution God created? The family. The family. What's God's first interest? The family. And I'm going to explain this to you here in just a moment. It'll make sense. You probably already know it, but let me remind you of it. And then the church. Now, I think in some couple generations here, we've got this flipped upside down where we put the church first, and the family. And the next generation, where's it at? What happened to the next? Because the church was first, and the family. Look, what is God's command in calling a pastor? What is he supposed to do? What is he supposed to do first before he can run the house of God, the church of God? What? His family? Oh, isn't that amazing? Does God care about the family? Absolutely. Do you know why God cares about the family? Because if the family is weak, guess what also will be weak? The church. And so if we're not giving our time and investing into our family and keeping it the priority that it ought to be, the church will never be. I mean, if he's telling the man of God, before you can pastor, you better run your own house right. You better make sure that you're leading them right before you even tackle the house of God. Shouldn't we be teaching that we ought to be taking care of our families first? And then the church. I've seen situations where people are running here and there, doing this and that, and the family's dying. We're not influencing them. We show the generation coming up that church is an occupation that keeps us so busy that there's no time for us. And that's not the way God intended it at all. So God says, take care of the family, because then the church will be what it needs to be. And so he says, let no man deceive himself. Verse 18, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh their wise and their own craftiness. This is God. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. They're self-absorbed. And then he says this, therefore, let no man glory in men. Now, let me ask you this. You remember who he's speaking to? And the third word here in the first verse is the brethren. So Paul is saying, be careful that you don't pick up on the wisdom of this world. What's the world? How does the world function? Listen, how does the world function? What is success in the eyes of the world? A successful business? And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but what are they living for? They're living for themselves. And they're so preoccupied doing everything, if they're not careful, what happens to the family? Is that not the case? They don't spend time with the... My goodness, now it's even worse than that. The families have fallen apart before they've even gotten started. Where's the dad? Where's the mom? And so what... Listen, Satan shot an arrow and he aimed for something. Do you know what he aimed for? The family. Did he hit it? Oh boy. Did he ever hit it? And lo and behold, here we are today. But God says, I'm not done. I'm not done. He says, if you'll call on me, I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do you believe God can build your family and strengthen your family? You believe he can do that? Then ask him to. Call upon him. And what I mean by that is, listen, you have your immediate family and you have your extended family. Don't forget your extended family. Don't forget your immediate family. God, I can't do it. Can you do it by yourself? I used to think I could do it till I had children. I really did. I thought I knew, man, just let me tell you how to raise your kids. And I didn't have one child. I was like Barney Fife. You remember him on the Andy Griffith Show? He was always giving Andy advice on how to raise Opie. And Andy would say, "What? Now, is that, are you talking about your imaginary children again?" I die laughing when I hear that. And man, oh man, I thought I knew what I was talking about. And then God gave me a child. Straightened me out. Amen. And then he threw a couple more in there and then another one. And he said, do you need me now? And you know what? God is faithful. Amen. I'll tell you, I don't have perfect kids. But I do have kids that care about God. And isn't that what it's all about? Because none of us are perfect. But we have a perfect God who says, if you'll call on me, I'll show you how to do it. And I'll bless you. And I'll bring things into your life. So very quickly, notice this. Let's finish with this. He says, therefore, let no man glory in men. That's an important truth for us to ponder. Don't look to what this world is accomplishing. And I'm not saying that worldly accomplishments are not good things. But the most important accomplishment is our relationship with God. He says, for all things are yours. Did you hear that? Listen. Hear that from God. He's given that to you and I. All things are yours. How can you know that? Because he gave us his son. Will he not freely also give us everything else? If he will give us the best, the cream of the crop right off the top, will he not also give us everything else that we need? So he says, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, he says, all the circumstances that you could possibly imagine, he says, in spite of those things, he says, all things are yours. Isn't that good? And ye are Christ's. Listen to that. All things are yours, and ye are Christ. You belong to Christ, and Christ is God's. Amen. Question, and we'll end with this. Will you need anything else? Amen? Would you stand as we prepare for invitation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder, Lord, that you've given to us everything we need, and it's all found in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he belongs to you, and we belong to you. And we thank you, Lord, that you've made provision for everything that we will ever need if we will just call upon and believe, Lord. And when we have troubles with that, we can even ask you to help our unbelief. Bless the invitation. May you be glorified. And we'll give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.